Nova Scotia. And how are you on this Thursday morning? Hi, and welcome to our show today on this very first day of March. It is 9 o'clock. I'm Rick Howe with you until 12:30 this afternoon. And here's what we've got coming up on the show for you today. Schoolhouse Consulting's Paul Bennett is standing by. He'll lead us off this morning. The McNeil government will be introducing its education reform package this afternoon at Province House. Is a showdown with the Nova Scotia Teachers Union coming to a head today? We'll hear from Paul in just a moment. Blogger Parker Dunham will join me this morning as well with some thoughts on the teachers' dispute. His latest commentary is headlined, McNeil versus the Confederacy. And the Confederacy, says, is a social media trolling effort by a group that accuses anyone who disagrees with the Nova Scotia Teachers Union as having a hate-on for teachers. We'll hear later this hour from Acadia University professor Rick Maida. The free speech advocate's being investigated by the university after it received complaints about some of his views, both online and in the classroom. His critics say he's perpetuating harmful stereotypes. After the news at 10, we'll go to the phones for another open hour, where, as always, anything goes. CTV Supper Hour news anchor Steve Murphy will join me in the studio after 11 this morning. We'll talk about the state of the media today, and of course we'll invite your participation as well. And historian David Jones is back this afternoon with a history lesson for us today, and he'll tell us about the Corner Cannons of Halifax. These were surplus cannons buried upright at street corners in the city back in the 1700s and early 1800s. Why, you ask? Well, David will explain when he joins me coming up this afternoon over the noon hour. 9:02 is our time, but first up this Thursday morning is the showdown between the McNeil government and the Nova Scotia Teachers Union coming to a head today. The premier says his government's education reform legislation will be introduced at Province House this afternoon. He won't provide any details, but he did tell CTV this week he was committed to the Glaze Report's recommendations to remove principals from the NSTU and to eliminate the province's English language school boards. Premier McNeil says he gave Union President Liette Doucette a heads-up yesterday, and a copy of the bill was dropped off as well at Union headquarters. The Union executive is meeting today to discuss the bill's contents and determine an appropriate response. And parents and students are, of course, anxiously awaiting the outcome of today's meetings and legislation. Joining me on the phone to start off our day today is Schoolhouse Consulting's Paul Bennett. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Rick.
How you doing this morning, sir?
Very well. What an exciting day with education reform front and center on the agenda.
Yep. What are your thoughts on the Premier's intentions here in regards to, well, he's talked about compromise. He's had a couple of meetings with the union. Do you think he's backing off any of the Glaze recommendations at all?
Yes, I do. In fact, I'm pretty clear about what's going to happen today because bit by bit, the details of the compromise have been leaking out. And the key to it all is that the government is going to announce that they've honored the spirit of the Glaze report, but not the letter of the recommendations. And here's what you can expect today that's been pieced together from my own intelligence, from reporting by other people and other sources. The school boards will be dissolved and replaced with a provincial advisory council on education. And there will be a commitment to enhance somehow the school advisory councils. Apparently, the College of Educators has been deferred or will be dropped altogether as a result of intense lobbying from the NSTU. Thirdly, principals and administrators are going to be moved to a different organizational structure within the NSTU. There's going to be a school administrators association, but they will not be outside the NSTU. It amounts to what most are describing as a compromise deal, which has been arranged, we believe, in exchange for support in reforming inclusive education. What this really means for your listeners, for parents, for taxpayers, and for communities is that the three key elements of public accountability, the College of Educators, the Student Assessment Agency, and the Education Ombudsman have either been delayed or shelved for the time being.
Yeah, we're going to talk, as I mentioned, after we finish with you, with Parker Dunham, who's tweeting that he'll be on the Rick Howe Show at around 9:15, talking about the McNeil government's cave-in, he writes, to the NSTU. Would you describe it as a cave-in, Paul?
No, I think that's overstating the case. Keep in mind that the Glaze report was a comprehensive and visionary document that had an awful lot of items on it, and it was a bit too much to swallow all at once. Let's hope that the agenda isn't derailed and that this does transpire. There's a pattern in education reform, which is things are proposed, they're discussed, they're deferred, and they come back again. So now we have three new items that are live in Nova Scotia education: a College of Educators, a student assessment agency reporting directly to the public, and the need for an educational ombudsman. These are things that were totally outside the realm of discussion here until Avis Glaze brought them to the fore. My take on this is the critical piece here is the weakness of the school advisory councils, and that's what my report released the other day addressed.
Dropping the College of Educators, your thoughts on that? I thought this was a means of holding teachers to accountability to ensure that the jobs they were doing were indeed adequate jobs.
Well, yes, but one wants to work with teachers to make sure that they're comfortable with what it is. The reaction, immediate reaction, was fear, as trepidation. What is this? And then so a lot of falsehoods were spread about how it doesn't work and it's not a good thing. And, of course, in the absence of anyone knowing much about it, you believe the naysayers. I mean, here's what's happened in the last month is there's been an immediate reaction to resist change. Pull back, go with what you're comfortable with. For example, if you had suggested 2 or 3 months ago that anyone would speak out if the school boards were eliminated, you would have said, oh, well, you know, what do they do anyway? The only reason the school boards got some support from the public was that everyone that was aggrieved by the other changes grabbed onto the school boards and tried to save them as well. But we do know this. The school boards are being dissolved. They've wrapped up their operations. Last night we heard at the Halifax Regional School Board, I was in attendance, that the organization has begun to wrap up its operations. Here's another thing, Rick. Do you know that the 7 school boards have already been invited, the superintendents, to engineer an elected board member from each of those boards to sit on the Provincial Advisory Council?
No.
So the Provincial Advisory Council is actually going to be composed mostly of the deposed school board members.
9:08 is the time. Paul Bennett from Schoolhouse Consulting is on the line with me. The principals will not be removed from the NSTU, but will be within a separate organization, I guess that's how you described it, within the union?
Yes, I do know a bit about this too, Rick.
Well, and is this a good move or not?
It's a halfway measure. A half a loaf is better than no loaf at all. It addresses the immediate concern that if there's a labor conflict or disruption, you know, the government has to have direct access to the principals without going through the NSTU. And I think they can work directly with a school administrators association. I'll mention something that's come out in the last month. Avis Glaze either didn't discuss it with this senior administration group or she didn't consider them to be worthy of inclusion. There's a shadowy group, Senate, of retired principals. They're in this organization called the Nova Scotia Educational Leadership Association. And they actually have always existed, but they were kind of in the background. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Nova Scotia Educational Leadership Association coming more to the fore and actually filling the role that this new School Administrators Association was supposed to do. But I think it would be a shame if that was all that happened, because once again, it would be just reaffirming the status quo.
What do you think the union's response to this is going to be? The executive is meeting today. The premier gave him a heads up yesterday, and a copy of the proposed bill was dropped off as well. Do you think this might provoke some kind of action, or will the teachers be satisfied with this?
I think the thing is going to be diffused with this bill. I have noticed a tremendous decline in the Twitter activity over the weekend. And as soon as the NSTU president got the bill, I would think they're going to be breathing a sigh of relief because they've beaten back the most important elements that were going to result in more accountability, more professionalism. They've done what they've done many times before. They've successfully beaten back efforts to improve, I would say, professionalism and to assure the public that there is quality in education and teaching. I think they've succeeded in, again, deferring any real action in those areas. So school boards will be disappearing. The issue comes down to what can we do to strengthen school-level decision-making.
Does this take away the crux of what the Glaze report was trying to accomplish?
Yes, I think in some ways it's blunted the effectiveness of it. It will no longer be a coherent plan for the province. In some ways, it's very predictable. It's like muddling through, picking a few things that are acceptable to the interests that tend to hold sway in education, and then waiting to see if there's a consensus around each and every one of those elements. I believe that Avis Glaze has given us an agenda for the next decade, and eventually it will happen, but whether we'll be around to see it, Rick, I don't know.
But I'm going to have to disagree with you, Paul, and I'm going to side with Parker here. This certainly does sound, based on your explanation here, like the McNeill government has caved into the union.
I think they've backed off on the elements. Now, keep in mind what they're really interested in here. I'm trying to be fair. I'm a commentator that tries to be fair. I'm going to be fair about this. I believe the Inclusive Commission report is critical. I'll give you an example. The wraparound schools proposal in the Glaze report is not among those that is being acted on. I believe that will be front and center in the inclusion report, to have wraparound schools to provide services to support those kids who, over the course of the school day, are not doing well and struggling. So I think there's elements here. I also think the government has cut a deal with the Nova Scotia Teachers Union, and that's why things have gone quiet all of a sudden. And that deal is this. If you cease and desist on the Glaze report, we expect you to come on board with changes in inclusive education. That's what I think is happening.
When does that inclusive report come out, do you know?
It's supposed to be in March, but it might be the end of March, early April. But clearly, the government wants to move on that piece as well, certainly before the summer.
So is this this legislation that will be introduced today at Province House, is this for the better then, Paul, or it's a step toward the better, I guess?
Moving a step towards a more coherent, effective school system. But there's the huge question mark is the school advisory councils are not robust enough to sustain real democratic decision-making at the local level. And that's what we need to focus on.
It's going to be an interesting day for sure. Mr. Bennett, I appreciate, as always, your time and your insight on these matters. Thanks very much, Paul.
Thank you.
Have a great day, sir. Take care. Paul Bennett is his name. He's with the Schoolhouse Consulting. And again, the union executive is meeting today to discuss the contents of the bill. And in their words, what's the release say? A release from the president of the union, Liette Doucette. The NSTU provincial executive will meet to discuss the contents of the bill and to determine an appropriate response. And as Paul Bennett just told us, he thinks that that response will be rather muted now, that the teachers will be okay with these proposed changes that will be introduced today. And, we'll see what happens. There's a bill briefing that starts at 10 this morning. We've got a reporter who will be down there. The minister will be making some comments about at 10:45, and that's when we'll get a sense of just what the legislation does spell out. And that bill will be presented to Province House on the floor of the legislature coming up this afternoon. And perhaps we'll hear your thoughts on whether you think the government has indeed caved into the union or whether this is a good step in the name of compromise. When we open up the phone lines coming up next hour, we've got an open hour for you between 10 and 11 this morning. And as always, anything goes. 9:15 is our time right now. We'll be back with more right after this. Nine 17, and blogger Parker Dunham writes this week that if you comment in support of the Nova Scotia government's proposed changes to education governance, a confederacy of what he calls denouncers will arise to smite you. This confederacy, he says, is a social media trolling campaign looking to accuse anyone of disagreeing with the Nova Scotia Teachers Union of having a hate on for teachers. Parker Dunham joins me on the phone here this morning. He also says, by the way, that the McNeil government has caved in to the NSTU. Parker, good morning.
Good morning, Rick. How are you today?
I am doing great, Mr. Dunham. And how are you doing this morning?
Pretty good.
Good. You say this is a cave-in. Paul Bennett just outlined what he says will be the changes coming when the legislation is introduced this afternoon. In fact, we'll know more about the legislation at around 10:45, 11 o'clock. But you suggest it's a cave-in. Why do you say that, Parker?
What does Paul say?
Paul says basically that he wouldn't go as far as to call it a cave-in, but he does say they are dropping that plan to have the recommendation for a college of educators. The principals Correct. Will no longer will stay within the NSTU, but in a separate kind of association, and they will be going ahead to eliminate English language school boards in the province. In a nutshell, that's his take on this.
Yeah, and that's also been reported by some other news outlets. So, and it's my understanding. Really, there are three pillars. There's the school boards, that stays. There's the college, that's gone. And there's getting the principals out of the NSTU, which really is the most important issue to the NSTU because it's worth $800,000 a year in dues. And you know, the fig leaf is that there will be that they will be in a separate bargaining unit. They won't have the right to strike, and they will they'll be called an association, not a union. But they will still it still means that the union will represent managers in the system, which is an inherent conflict of interest and contradiction, and unlike virtually any other organization, you know, that I know anything about.
But the union counters that by saying that these principals are not in a position to punish teachers, for example. They're not it's not in a typical manager employee kind of relationship.
Well, I simply think that's untrue. Discipline is spread out. The responsibility for discipline is spread out among several organizations, including a union committee, which is in charge of it. Obviously, principals run a school. They exercise leadership. They're, you know, it's inherent in that role that you have to be able to tell people when they're not performing and so on and so forth. It's just my concern here is that it will be another 50 years before any government summons the courage to take on the NSTU. I don't get it. Like the way this rollout happened with just, you know, the report comes out one day, the second day they announce they're going to accept it, and then they charge ahead with an early sitting of the legislature, presumably to push the bill through expeditiously. And then somewhere along the line, they lost their nerve. And I'm not sure why. I don't know whether they have polling that shows this is much more unpopular than I think it is. My impression is that the public's, you know, divided, but generally on board.
Yeah. That's the impression I get as well from our open hours, that I think most of the callers to our open hours support what the government's I mean, you get the odd caller who's, you know, speaking out in favor of the union, but I thought that the government this time looked to be ready to do what no other provincial government in Nova Scotia has done in the union's history, and that is stand up to the Nova Scotia Teachers Union.
Yeah, exactly. It was a once-in-a-generation opportunity, and McNeil has let it slip away. And the fig leaf that they're using is that they need the union's cooperation and the teachers' cooperation for inclusion, which I agree with the premier is a more important aspect. It's clear that a good part of the upset among teachers is the extra burden, an extra skill set and work and confusion and uncertainty that inclusion has caused. And I'm a big supporter of inclusion. But I don't think for a minute that teachers won't cooperate with methods to make this work better. I have two children with significant intellectual disability, grandchildren with significant intellectual disabilities in a school here. And, you know, the teachers have gone above and beyond to include them in things. And in fact, they have a wonderful school experience. I think there's a range of skills and of natural inclination to work with people with disabilities, but I would never suggest that teachers have been hostile to it or would not cooperate with measures to improve the resources needed for it. That just doesn't make any sense. And it implies that before you can do anything in the school system, you need the union's cooperation. There may be some truth in that, and that's why he shouldn't have backed down.
Yeah. Well, he told Steve Murphy just the other night, I don't know if you saw his interview on the CTV Supper Hour News, that he was committed to the Glaze Report recommendations, which led me to believe that he was going to stand tall and stand tough against the union. But as Paul said, he has compromised, and he thinks that this has also diffused the situation in regards to a potential job action by the union.
Well, I mean, Liette is running for re-election in what promises to be a difficult campaign. I would say she's just gotten a huge boost toward getting re-elected, and I would be very, very surprised if the teachers, if the union rather, responded to this with job action. I would expect the union may not crow about their victory, but a victory it is.
Indeed. You wrote in your latest column, this was in yesterday's blog, headline McNeil versus the Confederacy, and I'm assuming that you too have been on the receiving end of these social media attacks simply because you speak out against the Nova Scotia Teachers Union and at times in support of the provincial government. You say that this Confederacy, as you call it, a large and temperate and prone to personal attacks, accuses any who dissent from NSTU orthodoxy of having a hate on for teachers. You've been on the receiving end of their online comments, I'm assuming, Parker.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anytime I comment, anytime there's a CBC story posted with comments, anytime Graham Steele comments, you look through the comments section and you'll see the same cadre of people just showering the person who made the comment or the person who's quoted in the story with often quite abusive comments. I mean, when it comes to me, I don't care. I've been commenting on Nova Scotia politics for close to 50 years, and that stuff just doesn't bother me. But it does keep people on the sidelines. There are plenty of Nova Scotians who do not want to be a lightning rod for that kind of a treatment. And I think it creates a false impression on social media, certainly on Twitter and on Facebook, that there's overwhelming support for the NSTU. What I get privately in private messages, in emails, in direct message tweets, and in comments to people I run into as I'm out and about in the community is very much more supportive of what the government was going to do.
Even as we speak, just to read you a couple of tweets that have just come in, from Eve, who says, Parker is anti-union and that's it. And speeching for students, tweets, any chance of getting someone credible on your show actually understands the issues here. So, yeah, anyway.
Well, fill your boots.
Indeed. All right, Parker, it'll be interesting to see, again, if what you and Bennett are reporting turns out to be just what the government's intentions are. And again, Bill briefing at 10 o'clock this morning. The minister will speak to that at 10:45, and that's when it'll become public. And then we'll see what the union's response will be. And the NSTU executive meeting right now this morning, and they'll have a response at some point today. Stay tuned.